Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience of owning them is a great one.
A new legacy in sound. JLab's new luxury over-ear headphones, seamlessly blending innovation and lab quality sound.
Over here at Fake Doctors Real Friends, we love our JLab Audio headphones. They feature over 70 hours of playtime, four different colorways to choose from, and three noise control modes. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval terms. Apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time in Scrubs rewatch podcast history that you've been on the call before me.
No, this is the second time.
Well, I love it. Oh, look what Casey's got lined up for the weekend. There's three options behind you. I like
one
the
of
yellow.
Them. She's tell wearing her, tonight.
Tell her yellow. The yellow is the pretty one.
Tonight, I'm making steak dinner.
Are you having date night?
No. I just decided I was going to make steak dinner tonight.
Y'all need to do what we do. We have date night in the house.
You don't got kids.
Right, but they go to bed at what, 7:30, 8?
And by that time, I want to go to bed. For all my parents out there who are dealing with this in quarantine right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm sure every parent listening is like, mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All they got to do is click the ringtone.
Yeah, click your ringtone. You can get mm-hmm. I bet every time I say something to you that sounds like a guy with no kids and then you answer it, all those people listening with kids go, mm-hmm.
That's right.
So when you're a parent, you want to go to bed at 8:30, huh?
Yeah, you know, you want to go to bed early unless you got something cooking for later on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Those are the days, listen, I'm going to tell you, the days that I try to help out the most is when there's not even promise of sex at the end of the night. When there's like a little, when my wife gives me just that little bit of, that little spark, there's like a little sparkle in her eye that I recognize. And I'm like, yo, you know what I need to do today?
What?
I need to make sure I support and help as much as I can around the house.
Because you feel like that's going to put you over the line.
Something can happen.
Right.
And it's so disappointing when it doesn't happen. When it doesn't
work
out that way.
Oh, because you put in all the work all day long.
And it's like not appreciated. And then you realize, oh shit, that's my wife every day.
Right. So when you have kids, you kind of have to schedule sex, right? You kind of have to be like, how's Wednesday at 8:35?
No, no. You know what? We used to try to schedule it. And now it's just like, look, if it happens, it happens. You know what I mean? You'll get, you know,
put it in the iCal?
No. It would just be like,
what
it's
color?
Been a few weeks.
What color would you put it in?
It would be like, it's been a couple of weeks
pink.
Now.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you do?
Like, yeah.
Is she ever the one that's like, Donald, it's been a couple of weeks now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's nice.
Dude, we got a good thing going
no,
on.
No, obviously, you're very sexually attracted to each other. I can feel it. I can feel it when I'm around you. I can feel the heat.
Yeah, you know, It's very interesting. My wife is, you know, we're quarantined and everything like that. So she's like, you know, I want to be very careful how I word all of this.
Well, she doesn't listen to the podcast, but go ahead.
I still don't want it to come and bite me in the
ass. There's nobody listening. There's nobody listening.
But she's like,
Sister Well and Daniel.
Right. She's like, this quarantine thing has gotten me, you know, all out of sorts. And my eating habits and stuff aren't the same. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I like a little bit of cushion on my baby. You know what I mean? It's nice. Mm-hmm. It feels good. You know, and she likes to be like pinky thin. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I like that too, but I like it when she's got a little bit of something to hold on to. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, but I'm not tracking. You're saying she's too skinny for you right now?
She's saying she feels like she's going the opposite direction of skinny, and it doesn't make her feel attractive.
All right, here's what you gotta
do. To me, that shit is mad. That shit is dope.
Like, I got a plan. I'm gonna help you.
Okay, what's up?
You're gonna unplug the Peloton, and then you're gonna take some scissors and just cut the plug off. Break that shit.
Do you know how much money I paid for that Peloton bike? You know how much.
I'm Peloton trying to help you.
Peloton ain't one of our sponsors or doesn't advertise.
Peloton doesn't need sponsors.
They didn't send us a Peloton for free.
Peloton doesn't need sponsors.
Shit. Listen, cost me money. That's $2,000 sitting in the corner.
All right. And how do we fix it so it doesn't break? Maybe, I know, turn the circuit for that plug off and be like, baby, I don't know. That plug is broken. The Peloton is out of order. And then, you know how the gyms put an out of order sign? You put an out of order sign on the Peloton.
No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just keep cooking with butter.
Yep.
And freaking oil.
Put some meat on those bones.
I'm going to just make burgers and hot dogs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go out and get some potato chips.
Yep.
Make
sabotage.
Some potato salad.
Sabotage. I bet there's a lot of curvy women who are listening who are like, I need my husband to appreciate my curves. And here's Donald saying he appreciates you.
I never got so many likes as to when I cooked up those little tiny party wings and I posted it on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something right now. You want to make the ladies like your pictures? Post something that you cooked and make that shit look good. I guarantee you, you get all people sliding into my DMs.
Oh,
I didn't
really?
Know you could cook.
Oh, really? That's funny because some guys like, you know, show their abs and you're out here showing your chicken wings.
No, I show you the food. I show you what you want, mama. You don't want to. Nobody wants these abs. Nobody wants abs. My abs? Get the fuck out of here.
That's
maybe
true.
Michael B. Jordan's abs. They don't want my abs.
And you know what's fucked up? We do all this work to try and be thin. And it's what you're saying about Casey. And I'm sure I know for a fact there's women who think that about we men. It's like we do all this work to try and make our bodies look good. And then the person you're with is like, no, I'd rather you have a little meat on your bones.
It just seems more healthy.
So it's for our own vanity, though. It's for our own vanity, not for our partner.
No, you do it for you.
Although that's bullshit, though, because when you do look good as hell, your woman is like, damn.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it 100 with you.
Keep it 100, or at least 99.
I would prefer to look like a male porn star.
Okay, slow down. Do you mean because they're often muscular or because they have baby's arm size penises?
I guess it's a...
Joelle, why are you fanning yourself? You guys, Joelle is fanning herself with her hand.
Listen, I feel like if you're in porn... Yeah. You have to be, you know, muscular.
Right.
As
there's
a
not
male.
A lot of overweight male porn stars, I guess. I'm told.
No, there are. But for the most part, most of the males in porn are like, you know, ripped beyond belief or are 26 years old and haven't had to lift weights yet and diet yet and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I would love to be of that caliber male right now, where either I can stick with the regiment long enough for people to see it, or if there was some type of miracle something out there that would make me Just the I remember 26, man. Remember the Titans was 25. Listen, you know what I'm saying?
I remember that. We zoomed in on those abs. We filmed them.
I need that to be – I need it to be made. I need someone out there, whatever scientist is out there right now. I am begging you because this shit is – listen, man. Listen. I like it on my wife. I don't like it on me.
Right. Well, stop eating. I mean, I can solve it for you. Stop eating all that shit.
I smoke too much weed to stop eating all of that shit.
Well,
though.
Then don't. Then this is so fucking stupid. You're eating, you're smoking something that makes you hungry, and then you fucking eat bad food. It's not fucking rocket science.
I know. I understand that. It's not rocket science.
You need to get goals, set your goals, and be committed.
So you're saying I shouldn't smoke weed anymore?
No, you shouldn't. If it gives you that bad of a munchie problem, control your fucking self. You're a grown ass man.
So when I see you the next time, and you've got God's green lettuce,
yes,
and you want to smoke that shit, and I say no,
yeah,
you can't be like, stop being a pussy. That's what I'm saying.
I won't. I'll say I respect you, Donald. I understand that you have a munchie problem, and I understand that you need to take a break from God's lettuce.
Okay, there it is. Done or done.
You solved your fucking weight problem.
There it is.
Now, I feel bad for you because Casey's not as chunky as you like.
No, she's actually, she works out. Really, she's
too much.
She's strong in it right now.
She looks
man.
Great. I just saw her on the FaceTime, and she's very pretty.
She is very pretty.
You did good.
I did very well for
and
myself.
Her hair. She has such beautiful hair.
She takes very good care of it, and she, you know,
yeah, it's like a work of art. All those beautiful curls.
She's blessed with, you know, a lot of hair. It
and grows. The way your hair mixes with her hair to create Wilder's hair.
Ooh. Yeah, you know, I got, you know, beautiful babies too. That's what happens
you
when
live
they
a
come
blessed
from
life,
love,
Donald.
You know what
wait,
I mean?
Wait, skinny, fat, medium, whatever. You live a blessed life.
I am very, very, very happy with what God has given me.
Yes.
I thank God every night for
and
it.
We thank I'm God and the universe for you beautiful listeners, because Donald and I were talking about how much fun we're having doing this. And it is a bright spot in our, you know, so many people on social media thank us for doing this. And I always have the same response in my head, which is thank you for tuning in, because we really, I think Donald and I thought this would be a fun little thing to do, but it's become so fun for us. We look forward to it. We know we're going to laugh with you guys. And we know we have these new beautiful friends, Daniel and Joelle, that we get to see twice a week and giggle with. And I think it's we want to thank all of you for listening.
Thank you.
And people
very,
are
very
fucking
much.
Nuts, man. I mean, none of these listeners, all of our listeners are
okay,
saying,
here we
but
go.
People have
okay.
lost their
that
fucking
being,
minds.
Right. That being said, let's get into it. What's going
wait, let
on?
Let me tell you something. I want to play you something that was on my Twitter machine today, okay? I'm going to play. This is the first time I've ever played you guys something off my phone, because I have a question, and I want Joelle and Daniel to weigh in. Were people please. Always this fucking batshit in the world, or is just everyone filming everything now? Before you answer, I'm going to play you a woman. This woman is berating her dentist for asking that she wear a mask. Okay? She is berating the, I assume maybe it's the receptionist at the dental office, because she doesn't want to wear a mask. And we represent the medical community here on Fake Doctors, Real Friends. And I got livid myself as a fake doctor listening to this. I'm just going to play a little section of this woman who is very upset that she has to wear a mask to the dentist.
You're going to work on my teeth, not my nose. I don't wear a mask getting my teeth cleaned.
But it's about the safety of all of our...
Fine, I'll cover my mouth. Can I go be seated now?
No, because you're not filling out the forms or letting us take your temperature. It's about protecting our...
You can't take my temperature. That's against the law.
All right, well, I can't...
You're not an MD.
We're not allowed to... We can't see you.
I have a right to sue you for harassing me, the manager, and this entire company, Smile, whatever you call it, dental. I do have that right, and I talked to my attorney before I came here, too.
You talked to her attorney.
So does he want that to happen? I've waited long enough for my teeth to be cleaned, okay? Let's get this done.
Let's get this done. What's crazy is this crazy woman is prepared to go now have all these people work on her mouth. Let's get this done.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna say something. All she
go
has
ahead.
To do is put a mask on.
No,
while
she said you're not working on my nose. That's how fucking nuts this woman is.
But the mask only has to be on from when she enters the building to sitting in the chair.
Yeah,
the
dentist, I don't know how do you even
right.
do the dentist with a mask on?
Is gonna take the mask off. They're just asking for now. It might be the embarrassment of, I forgot my mask, and I don't want to feel like an asshole because I know everybody's supposed to wear a mask.
Donald,
right
there
now.
Is no way that that office would not have provided her with a friggin' mask.
Okay, I'm just saying. Okay, this is what I don't understand.
It just gets me so riled up. I have no business speaking for the medical community, but since it's a show about fake doctors, I want to be like, fuck you. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, this is going to upset people, and this is going to make a lot of people be like, you know what, you're right. The president ain't wearing a mask. There are a bunch of people who voted for the president. And they feel like if he doesn't need to do it, why do I need to do it? He speaks for me.
I just feel like we're the only country right now. We're the only country that's politicized mask wearing.
Dude, they politicize everything is politicized now. This freaking virus. The virus is politicized. I don't know if this is going to make the show.
It is because we don't get political, and you don't even have to go down a Trump thing because you don't even have to touch that fucking fire. All you have to say is, how I just can't get my head around why people are so crazy. If you want to wear a mask, fine. Don't go to the dentist. Well, why are you yelling at these poor fucking, why the receptionist whose job it is to make sure that everyone in the waiting room is safe?
Listen, if it wasn't invisible and you could see this threat, everybody would be wearing a mask. If this was considered a true threat, like somebody with a gun walking into a room and the only way you're not going to get, and the motherfucker's walking outside and choosing places to walk into, if that were the case, everybody would wear a mask because they wouldn't want to get shot.
They're opening Disney World. Do you know how many people died in Florida yesterday?
Yeah, I understand that. They're opening Disney World. They feel that they have the proper, listen, man, you can't tell anybody to put a mask on. You could tell as many people as you want to put a mask on. They're going to live their life, man. They're going to do what they want to do. That's what it boils down to.
Dan, say something wise. You're so wise.
Joelle, talk some sense into
Joelle,
these people.
Joelle, help us
Joelle
out.
Joelle is also incredibly wise and has just as much to say on this.
I'm saying, either one of you, please educate Donald and I what we're missing because
Joelle,
I just
you
don't
first.
Understand.
I
just don't understand.
To say, but you first.
Joelle, okay. Go first.
Okay. I think that there's a lot of easy to access misinformation out there, misinformation available to a lot of people who don't think that this is a big deal, which is aggravating. I know several people who have died. We see a whole families devastated. We've seen poor women have to bury sons and grandsons and husbands in the span of a week. I mean, there's footage of doctors loading bodies into like refrigerated trucks. It's intense to me, the amount of denial that's going on. I don't know what we as individuals can do to convince the masses that don't seem to think this is a problem. It just means for me, like the best thing I've been able to do for my mindset is just prepare to stay in for a very long time, because it's clear to me people aren't taking this seriously. Despite the fact that numbers are rising, we have government officials who could very easily resolve this problem with the stroke of a pen being like, nope, businesses are allowed to be open and we're going to try to make it so that mayors of large cities are unable to pass ordinances. What's happening in Georgia? It's just crazy.
It's criminal. It's criminal. There's 11,433 new confirmed cases of coronavirus in Florida today and 93 deaths today. This was posted 4 hours ago, so God knows what it is now. But there'll be over 100 deaths in Florida today. They're opening Disney World.
All I'm going to say, and you know, I hate that this, I feel like this is the kind of thing that changes people's minds, but so often we see images of stuff like war, and we see images of stuff like destruction, and those kinds of very raw graphic images tend to sway people in ways where, like, I had no idea this was going on. You think about struggles in the Middle East, you think about places like Syria, where people are carrying, you know, their children out of blasted out buildings, and you see the grief in this person's eyes as they're holding their dead child. And unfortunately, with COVID, nobody's allowed to see anybody. The second that you go into that hospital, that's the last time you see that person. So the image of COVID, the image of the sick person is, I'm at home. The image is, stay home. And the image is, out of sight, out of mind.
You're right.
And unfortunately, like, where are all of these hundreds of thousands of people? There are hundreds of thousands of people who have died in this country.
Yeah,
there's no images. There's no sick people.
Yeah, they hide it all.
They hide it all. You think about like Chernobyl. It starts out with this very ominous image of a bunch of people standing on a bridge while little like white flecks come down, which are like, you know, that's the symbol for the viewer who knows the results of Chernobyl to be like, that's the thing. That's the bad part. That's the bad stuff right there. And that's the COVID coming in. And then over the rest of the documentary, you see people like start to just like cough up blood and their skin starts to disintegrate and all these gruesome, horrific things where you're like, whoa, never want to have that again. And with COVID, we just don't have that kind of, and I'm not advocating that reporters go into hospitals and start taking pictures of sick people. It's like, that's not what I'm saying. But the fact that it is so dangerous, it is so contagious that people are not allowed to be around their loved ones, that you're not allowed to see these people, that all of this is just happening behind closed doors.
Yeah.
People don't have that straight up image of, if you do this, you turn into this.
Yeah. You're smart. That's well said, Dan. And, you know, I got the goosebumps when I first saw them backing up refrigerated semis to the hospitals. But even that was hidden. They put up big.
One would hope. Yeah. One would hope.
That, but, you know, I saw it firsthand because right. of Nick. I saw FaceTime. I FaceTimed with Nick thanks to Amanda and a nurse that was in the hospital. And I just could not believe what it had done to him. I could not believe he looked like a corpse, frankly.
You wish people could have empathy just off of information. You wish people could hear a fact and be able to process it in their head and say, oh, well, this is horrible. And I need to do everything I can to protect those around me and protect others. But that is not the case.
Well, it all goes back to, I'll tell you this again, it all goes back to leadership and how leadership handles all of this. Whether you're a governor, a mayor, the president, a senator, in Congress, whatever it is, you know, a lot of the examples, you are the example. And
I know. DeSantis. Oh, my God. Has that guy been a colossal disaster? DeSantis in Florida. Debacle.
Well, you know, some people downplayed it and didn't want to believe the facts. And here we are. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
This is the last political thing I'll say on the rest of this podcast for
ever again.
Ever again. The last political thing I will ever say on this podcast is
bullshit. I call bullshit.
All right, ready? : People of Florida, if you reelect DeSantis, I think you are making an enormous mistake. He is a disaster / debacle.
Okay, well you just joined a side, but dear Florida, that being said,
Florida,
don't let Zach's political views stop you from listening to our show.
Okay. Sorry. If you're currently wearing a DeSantis t-shirt, I'm sorry, okay?
No, he doesn't apologize.
No, I'm not apologizing.
Just look, you guys have different political views. That doesn't mean we can't all love Scrubs
no,
right now.
No, we still want you to listen, and we're
but if
not
you're a racist, fuck you. Okay, we're done.
5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's a story.
All right, should we get into this real quickly? Should we get into this? Because I wrote it down this time. I don't know if I wrote it down correctly, but I have a feeling that I can do it. I don't know if I could do it less than 30 seconds.
Come on, dude. This is your
thing. This episode had so many really cool things.
People are really loving. People, I'm getting a lot of good feedback on the Donald summing
it
up.
Get it ready. Get it ready.
So wait, let me get my timer going. And I got to get it ready. Hold on. Clock. Okay. And then I go to stopwatch. All right. Ready?
Yes.
Now, take a deep breath because it was a big episode. Here we go. Get marks. Get set. Go.
Turk realizes he's always coming in second to his arch nemesis, Bonnie. That's why he's surprised when he's chosen to go with Dr. Kelso to a conference in Mexico. Carla finally confides in JD, and like the little snitch he is, he runs and tells his best friend. Carla's crushed. Elliot just wants to be a part of a team and is willing to sink to low levels to fulfill her wants. In the end, everyone's trying to prove they're worthy of respect and trust, and it takes the experiences they go through in this episode for them to realize they are.
Holy shit, that was 29. Did you practice?
Wow!
Did you practice?
I worked on that shit, baby!
Yeah.
From here on out, y'all, I love y'all too much to freaking just scrub through this shit. I'm
going
to give you guys 100% every fucking time. Donald
Faison
for president 2020. Let's go!
First time.
Wait. Whoa. I take it back. Donald Faison for president 2024. Let's go!
All right, listen, I
don't want to distract nobody right now.
At first, I was upset that you had practiced, but then I was like, wow, he put a lot of thought and work into this. He fucking rehearsed for you guys. He rehearsed.
That's love.
29 seconds. So there you go. There is your 29-second recap of the episode.
What a great episode it was, by the way. Yes,
very good episode. Very funny.
Paul Quinn, well directed.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about Paul Quinn, I looked him up on IMDb. He hasn't directed much before or much since. So I don't know what the story of Paul Quinn is, how he came to us.
You want to ask Bill?
Yeah, let's ask Bill. Bill, Zach and Donald here, and our beautiful listeners on the podcast all want to know, Paul Quinn only directed one episode of Scrubs. He doesn't have a lot of credits before or after. So how did Paul Quinn come to us? I think he did a nice job, but what's the Paul Quinn story, Bill?
So this is how it works. You all only call me when Wiki Guy or the Todd aren't available. Your cooler, more hip friends. Fine, I'll take it, but I don't like it. I don't have to like it. Paul Quinn is an independent film writer and director that I had gotten to know and thought I would give him a shot. And he went on to kind of, I think this was one of his first directing breaks, and he went on to direct some other stuff and do that. So that's Paul Quinn.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, William. William Van Duzer Lawrence III. That's his name. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
William Van Duzer Lawrence III. If that doesn't sound like, he sounds like the rich guy in Trading Places.
Mortimer.
Yeah, no, Dan Aykroyd's character. What's his name?
Oh, shit.
Billy Ray
Valentine.
No, that's Eddie Murphy.
Lewis Winthorpe.
Lewis Winthorpe. Looking good, Billy Ray.
Feeling good, Lewis.
I hope that's us one day.
That would be the best day of my life.
My dream is that...
That's good social distancing, too, by the
yes.
way.
Yes. By the way, there's no way that they could hear each other from the sailboat to the beach. That always bothered me. Looking good, Billy Ray. Feeling good, Lewis.
All that he would have heard was...
Can you promise me before we die that we will recreate that moment together at the end of Trading Places?
You know what? I hope we get the opportunity to relive that moment.
I would
someday.
Like to.
Someday.
Looking good, Billy Ray. Feeling good, Lewis. I want to yell it to you while you're on a
sailboat.
Will
you say looking good, Faison? And I could say feeling good, Braff? Or Zach?
Looking good, Adeyashun. Feeling good.
Israel?
But Adeyashun's not your middle name.
Adeyashun is my middle name.
Oh, I always get confused if it's your real birth first name. Or
it is my. It is on my birth certificate. Donald Adeyashun Faison.
Okay,
my parents went to West Africa. Uh-huh. I mean, sorry, to Nigeria.
Right.
And they, you know, fell in love with the culture and in love with the people. And I have a Nigerian name. And I used to use it all the time. Mm-hmm. I haven't gone by Adeyashun in the entertainment world in a long time. And I kind of use it as a filter. So if somebody calls me by my nickname, then I'm usually like, oh, shit, I should know who this person is or
right,
I know who this person is.
Especially right. Someone from your childhood, right? If they're like, what's up, Shun? And you're like, oh, I must know him from school.
Well, yeah. But also, like my mom, my family, everybody calls me Shun still. So yes. Adeyashun.
And me. I call you Shun.
You do.
At 34 seconds, Carla,
bitch
she hits me, she bitch slaps me, and I turn around to the camera, and that classic, like, Raging Bull face turn, it's so funny. Ah! And I do that girlish gasp. That shot is always funny, no matter how many times we've seen it or we did it on Scrubs, it's always funny.
Getting punched into camera, always funny.
Yes, and Carly just slapping people around.
Yeah, you know what? This whole story kind of starts off where everybody's somebody's. The word that we use in the show is biatch.
Biatch, yeah.
You know, you're Carla's biatch in the beginning.
I would like to give a shout out to the women in this episode because they all did a fantastic job. Judy is so good in this. Sarah, unbelievably good in this with not only her physical comedy that she does in the beginning, but all this crying she does. Sarah used to listen to sad songs
I will remember you.
I don't know if it was Sarah McLachlan or what it was.
I'm telling you it was. Will you remember me?
That just makes me think of like dogs being in crates.
Yeah, exactly. And that's enough to make...
Like one ear.
That's enough to make Sarah cry.
Yeah. I don't know if Sarah McLachlan was always her go-to. Are you just guessing that?
I'm guessing.
All right.
It would be... I'm trying to think what my go-to...
It was probably Josh Radin Winter. Yeah, what song would you put on to cry?
If I had to put on a song... Oh, man, you want to know what song it is?
What? The score from Bambi.
It's about your people, too. The Prince of Egypt. Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey. Wow. Okay. There can be miracles if you believe. Though hope is frail, it's hard to kill. Come on now.
I don't know that
Who
song.
Who knows what miracles
Sorry.
You
what?
Can achieve.
It's going to make you well. Have you ever seen
when
the Prince of
you
Egypt?
Believe. No. Somehow you will.
Joelle, you're about to cry right now?
It's the best. I think this is a school talent show. It's the most beautiful song maybe ever.
Yeah, listen, man. It's about, first of all, the song's about when Pharaoh's chasing the Jewish people out of Egypt. It's about the story of Moses.
Right. The plagues.
And it goes all the way through. It goes all the way through.
It's a Passover song.
It's him going all the way through to him coming down from... the mountain with the Ten Commandments in the ark.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, he has them in his hands, I think, at the end
yeah,
of the...
Yeah, he's holding the commandments.
He's holding them. Right.
Remember from that, what was it, is it the history of Earth? These 15 commandments...
History of the World Part 1.
Yeah, these 10 commandments...
but the song is amazing, man. And, you know, it's, you know...
So that's what you would put on?
That song is, if you ever need to cry, whether it be, it's just such a hopeful song, you know what I mean?
Right.
We've spent this whole, I know we're jumping off topic and everything like that. We've spent this whole time, you know, Amanda Kloots is, you know, has delivered a lot of hope to people in this world, you know what I mean? Her faith and her belief really helped a lot of people when Nick was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for some reason, when you have all of that faith and you have all of that love, it overwhelms you, man. And so listening to a song like that, listening to There Can Be Miracles When You Believe, it just overflow with hope and joy and faith. Yeah. And it just works, you know what I mean?
Wow. That's beautiful. Really, now really I got to listen work. To it. I've never seen the movie. I never heard the song. I'm sorry.
If you get the opportunity, check it out. There's a lot of really good voiceover performances in it.
What year is it? It's old?
1998.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. There you
it
go.
It was, but that song, first of all, it was Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston singing it. Wow. And I don't know if you were big Mariah Carey or Whitney Houston fans. First of all, I think those are, you know, of my lifetime, two of the true versions of what a diva is as far as being able to sing.
I had a Mariah Carey interaction once.
So did I. It was one of the best nights of my life. What was yours?
Well, mine wasn't like we've made out or anything. Yours sounds
no,
like
we didn't make out. No, no. No. Imagine. Yeah, it was totally awesome. No, we didn't make out. I met her and Derek Jeter in the same night.
Wow.
It was back when they were dating.
I was PAing on a Mariah Carey music video called Up on the Roof. That you can go watch on YouTube and
you mean Rooftop?
No, it's called. Oh, is the song Up on the Rooftop? I thought it was Up on the Roof.
I think it might be the
Joelle. Can you double check, please?
What's the one with her and Mobb Deep?
Well, she doesn't have two songs. One called Up on the Roof and one called Rooftop. It's either one.
I think it's Rooftop.
She has one called The Roof.
Yeah, with Mobb Deep, right?
Mariah Carey.
No, this is called Up on the
Roof.
It's
the Mobb Deep beat. I'm telling you, it's the Mobb Deep beat.
You're right. Mariah Carey, Mobb Deep.
Told you.
Now, Joelle, does she have one called Up on the Roof?
I will look that up too.
Because I remember that I had to lug all this stuff up to the roof.
it's just the roof.
All right. Well, listen. I the elevator broke in this building in Brooklyn, and all the PAs had to lug all the gear up to the roof. And I was like, I hope her next song is called Lobby. Anyway, I got in the. Before
you know, you would be a good dad. Could you have some really good dad jokes?
That's not a dad joke.
That is a fucking dad joke, dude.
Listen, I am going to be a great dad, but not because of my jokes, just because I'm hilarious. Listen, before the elevator broke, I got in with Mariah and her whole posse, and I was just the PA, and I had a baseball hat, and I looked away like, you know, I thought you were – I didn't know. I was fresh out of film school.
You just didn't
want
to look her in the eyes. You didn't know.
Yeah, I just thought you don't look at the star. Right? You just look away. And she was like, I like your baseball hat. And it was my favorite baseball hat. And I was like, oh, thank you, thank you. Like not making eye contact, like bobbing my head. And she was like, I might want to wear that in the video. And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, can I borrow it? And I was like, oh, yeah. So her like entourage took my baseball hat. And it had like a red circle on it. And they came back to me and they were like, hey, we want to darken the red circle with Sharpie. Is that okay? And I was like, oh, it's kind of my favorite hat, but I don't want to like let down Mariah, let down the whole team. You know, I just lugged everything up to the roof. I want the video to be good. You know, this is what I was thinking. And they're like, we'll give you $40 if you'll let us darken the red circle with Sharpie. And I was like, wow, I didn't have any money. I was probably making $100 to be the PA. I was like going to, you know, increase my salary substantially. So I was like, yeah, for $40, y'all can just go to nuts on it with a Sharpie and I'll just have a great story. So that's what happened. And I don't even, I haven't watched the video in 20 years, but.
Well, she's on the roof.
I know she's on the roof. Anyone who's curious, just go watch the video and see if she's ever wearing a black baseball cap, because that's mine.
Right on. That's what's
up. I got $40.
Extra. Extra. Extra.
Yeah.
Extra.
That was a hard shoot. Wait, is who's the? There's a guy in the video. There was a sexy.
It's Mobb Deep.
Oh, well,
oh
she was
no,
like,
I don't know. I don't know if she's making out with the band Mobb Deep, but
there was a sexy. I don't know if he was a model or an actor or whatever, but there was a sexy. Joelle, could you maybe find out who that was? There was some sort of like, you know, in the music video, they have a love interest that they're like macking on. I remember that. I don't know if that was Mobb Deep. Is Mobb Deep a rapper or a group?
It's two people.
Well, she wasn't having like a Mobb Deep threesome. It was like one guy. I think he had abs.
Right.
But then again, I worked on a D'Angelo video too. Maybe I'm conflating the two.
You worked on a D'Angelo video?
Yeah, I worked D'Angelo on a lot video. Of videos. I don't know the name of that song. I remember he was
Have
in a bed.
Have you ever dated a girl who was like in videos? Like a video vixen?
No, I've never dated a video vixen. Have you?
I've dated a few video vixens
really?
When I was younger, yeah.
Any video vixens we would know? What's the one, Amber Rose?
No, I've never dated, no. I've never dated Amber
She's
Rose.
She's a video vixen.
Zach. Yeah, I'd like Amber Rose. I put
Jamie King in my video. I directed a video for Gavin DeGraw, which is a really good video, by the way. Chariot. Yeah. Y'all should stop watching The Roof right now and go watch Chariot by Gavin DeGraw because I directed that video. And
well, you
Jamie
know, in that
King
video, I threw up money in the air.
Oh, and
to
you're
make
in
it.
Rain. Sorry. Yeah, you're in the video too. I got video, distracted by Jamie King. You're in the video.
Before Making It Rain was a big deal, I threw money up.
Oh, are you
the
saying
video.
You invented Making It Rain?
Listen, not only did I invent keeping it real, I also invented Making It Rain, just keeping it 100.
That
I didn't invent
that. That was the most stressful
that.
Job of my life. I was spending so much money. And it was all designed to be an elaborate one-er. And at like 6 p.m., I don't know if you remember, we hadn't shot anything.
No, I remember we rehearsed a lot.
Oh, it was a disaster. But then it came out great.
Video's wonderful.
I pivoted and came up with a new plan. And but I remember that was like, that's literally like probably the most stressful day of my directing career.
The person who made the stage in the video also was the head of, for Scrubs. Cabot.
No. Well, yes and no. Cabot designed it, yeah. Cabot McMullen, who was our production designer, Scrubs, came up with an awesome idea of these spinning turntables. And if I were to go back, I know how to do it. So first of all, if you have 100 people and you're trying to not cut the camera, you need a full day of rehearsal. But that's so expensive to pay everyone for a full day of rehearsal. So we tried to do it without a full day of rehearsal. And by 6 p.m., we hadn't shot a foot of film. And I was on the verge of a panic attack. But... If you watch the video, it came out really good. And Dom Faison is in it looking fly. You're like, you're playing a music video director in the video.
Yeah, I am.
And you're making it rain.
And I make it rain.
And there's bouncing booties.
There are bouncing booties.
The idea was that he's in a video and the director's trying to make him be something that he's not. And I remember MTV had a rule in the day where you couldn't show a bouncing booty and then not connect it to a head.
Yeah.
You couldn't just show a bouncing booty. You had to like... The camera
are those
could,
rules still? Is that rule still?
I have no idea. Well, they used to not be able to show a gun either. They had a lot of rules.
I understand not showing the booty without the head because somebody want to be like, is that my booty?
I don't know. They probably thought it was rude to just show a bouncing booty and then not show whose booty it was. But I just remember someone coming up to me like, hey, if you're going to shoot that booty, the camera now has to come up and show the woman's head, which was
not
fine.
Her face, just her head.
Yeah, I think her head. I think it could.
So they just wanted to make sure that the booty was connected to an actual person.
Yeah, it wasn't like I don't know what the rule. I guess the rule was, what do you guys think? Do you think it was like intended to be out of respect for the dancer? I guess, right? I don't know. But and I was fine with the rule, but I remember we were mocking. We were spoofing like these rap videos that had, you know, dancers shaking their booties. And
pretty much to Baby Got Back. Similar to...
Right. And I remember being told, like, hey, you got to make sure the cameraman tilts up to connect all heads to booties.
Right on.
There you go. It's a little trivia for you listeners out there. All right. On that note, on the note of dancing, bouncing booties, we'll be right back.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know that feeling when you just have something you need to get off your chest? It's like a rain cloud following you around in your life.
People all carry around different stressors, big and small. Everyone has stress, but we all handle it differently.
When you keep your emotions bottled up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
We talk all the time about how much therapy has benefited us.
Therapy isn't just for those who have experienced a major life trauma. Therapy can help everyone with daily challenges with friends, family, and other relationships.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should start with BetterHelp.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/RealFriends today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/RealFriends.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So Troy and the janitor.
Wait, you're going too fast.
No, I'm not. Am I?
Snoop Dogg Resident is in the back of almost every shot in this episode, and I have a theory that he's a spy.
For who?
I don't know, but I want you, another hospital, the Russians, I don't know. I want you to watch this episode and in the back of your head, make up a subplot that Snoop Dogg Resident is spying on all the main characters because he's in the background of like 10 shots.
Yeah.
First one's at 140.
You said something earlier in this podcast that I didn't necessarily echo, and I want to echo it now. You're absolutely right about Sarah.
Yeah, echo.
She's very funny in this episode. Funny throughout the rest of the series also. I imagine the writers had a really good time writing for that character because of all of the things that she, you know, she's clumsy, she's, you know, she puts her foot in her mouth. She does.
And there's physical comedy that she does when she's trying to get Johnny's attention around 227, and she's just flopping around, and it was really well shot.
She did such a great job, too.
And she's very funny. She's just flopping her whole body all around.
Yeah.
At 141, you accidentally see a pillow light that's on the ceiling, for those of you who like looking at fuck-ups.
Did you get that from Scrubs Wiki?
No, that was myself. I noticed, how did they fucking not crop that out? but I saw it. I do have some Scrubs Wiki. A pillow light, by the way, is this light they used to put on the ceiling that would – basically, it was just a piece of cloth that would soften the fluorescent lights in the ceiling. And they were all over the place, and we had to frame them out. But you can see one if you want to see what it looks like. Scrubs Wiki has a weird – I have a bone to pick with Trevor or one of his thousand minions because they said something that that I looked at and is not true. It says that there's a continuity mistake. It says when Dr. Kelso speaks gibberish to Carla, you can see the actor playing a patient is standing still and starts moving only when Kelso starts speaking. Didn't see that. Zach Braff is looking over at the director, waiting for a command to start drinking his coffee. No, not true. So, I mean, I don't know if it was Trevor or one of his minions, but hey, I Scrubs Wiki's not always accurate, guys.
I'm just going to say what I said before, and everybody got upset about it.
What?
But he don't want to do this. I keep trying to tell you all this.
No, he does. I thought he gave a very enthusiastic. Joelle, you communicate with him. Is he enjoying this? Does he know about the gift bag he's going to get of the Funko Pop signed?
He loves you guys. He sends us little messages like he loves the show and thanks for it. And no, he's very into it.
Okay, but ordered him.
He's also really
some...
excited about the Funko Pops and is not going to sell them on eBay. He promised.
Okay.
He promised he wouldn't sell them on eBay?
Promised he wouldn't sell them on eBay. He would cherish them forever.
All right, well, get us those
that
Funko Pops,
like
Joelle.
That sounds like a lie to me. That sounds like a lie to me, dude.
Get us those Funko Pops because his
I'm going to cherish Funko Pops forever, my ass. I know exactly what he's going to do with those Funko Pops.
No, Trevor Wiki, I want to tell you something. I have yet to sign a Scrubs Funko Pop, so you will have the only signed one in existence so
of
far.
Of you. Oh. I've signed a couple of them.
You have?
Yeah, so like, you know, you do signings at Comic-Con. Like, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. We all know right. this. I was lucky enough to be able to go to Celebration and sign for my character in the Star Wars universe, Hype Faison, from Star Wars Resistance. If you haven't watched the show, it's now streaming on Disney+. Just putting it out there. Right. Anyway, you know, people came up to me when I was signing for that. And this lovely movie I did called Clueless back in the day. I was also at C2E2.
Do they have Clueless Funko Pops? They should.
Well, we had a big Clueless reunion at C2E2. Mm. And there as well, people came up to my signing booth with the Turk Funko Pop. And,
all right. Donald has signed for you. I want Trevor Wiki to know that I have never signed a JD Funko Pop. So until the world reopens and someone random comes up to me, he will have the only signed JD Funko Pop in existence.
That's if he changes his attitude.
No, you're fucking it up right now. He's doing a good job. No.
Change your attitude.
I saw someone on my Instagram or somewhere wrote like, Zach, Donald, the dude is not into this. I love the shit that people write, how invested you guys are in the show. It really makes me laugh when I posted that Ken was coming on the show, like I had like hundreds of comments that were like, he's done moving? And it just made me smile to know that you guys are...
My favorite thing about the Ken episode is that he Kelsos me at the end of the episode.
Oh, that was amazing.
My God.
That was the best ending.
Oh, my gosh.
That was the best ending to any podcast we've done because, like, everybody thought he was going to be, like, sweet, and then he just fucking Kelsoed your ass.
He Kelsoed the crap out of me, dude. I loved it. It felt good. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, my face melts.
Yes.
That was well done.
I love that. That was amazing. You know I loved that part.
Yeah, I know you did.
As soon as that shit happened, I was like, yeah, you know what? This is the best part of the show.
That was done well. Now, did you see Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom in the theater?
I sure did.
All right. Well, my mom turned to me, and she saw me in the fetal position in my chair. And she said, do you want to go play arcade games in the lobby? And I just was like, I would like to do that. And we fucking sprinted out of that theater, left my stepfather to finish the movie.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
We played some games.
Temple of Doom is one of my favorite Indiana Jones movies.
You were a year older. Maybe you could handle it. I couldn't handle it.
It's so absurd. Like, look, he does some pretty outrageous shit throughout all of these movies where you're like, get the fuck out of here. But Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones jumps out of a plane in a boat, in a blow-up boat, and survives several stories of falling onto a mountain, which then he goes down on the boat like it's a bobsled to only go off the cliff of said mountain a river that is several stories below the cliff and then make it through raging waters only to be coerced into finding Shibalinga, the stone.
Dude, you're not trying to recap the movie. We're not timing you to recap the entire film.
That's ridiculously, it's just crazy. First of all, that movie is just so much ridiculous after ridiculous, and I loved it.
Did you like the recent one with the last one? How many are there? There's four or five? Four?
Four. This is when
did you like four?
This is when I knew I was in trouble. When they blew up the nuclear bomb and he came falling out of the refrigerator without being melted. I was like, okay, now we've crossed the line here. Indiana Jones is now the fakest of the fakest of the fake.
Okay. But so you prefer one and two, or do you also like three?
I love three. I think three is one of the better ones.
Okay. There you go. Everyone's on this review.
I loved Sean Connery as Henry Jones Sr.
Yeah. Let's talk about at 2:05 when there's Sarah's talking and you hear the noise. I think that's Bill.
What?
So Sarah, the joke is that Johnny sees, like, whenever you talk, all I hear is this loud screeching noise.
Yeah, and you then think you that's Bill's voice?
I'm pretty sure that it's Bill doing the noise for Sarah.
Let's ask Bill.
Bill, is it you, when Sarah's talking to me, and in JD's head he hears a loud screeching noise, is that you, my friend? It sounds like you. I know your voice.
At the 201 mark, I don't think I ever looped anything for Sarah. I looped a lot of stuff for Zach whenever JD fell and we didn't have a good everybody took turns doing that. But I don't think I ever did Sarah. I might have done when she blows hair out of her eyes, but that's about it. I'm going to start sending questions your way so I don't feel like someone that is third on your podcast booty call dial list, whatever that means. All right, see ya.
What about when the janitor is trying to be friends with me and I'm really nervous? So I'm like, what is up with you, man?
That's very funny.
That made me laugh.
The whole janitor, JD, Troy.
Troy.
Thing.
Well, this is Elias. Troy's introduction. Yeah. And I also laughed when he's like, you think I only know like janitor words? And I'm like, and he's like, maybe you moppin't. He turns mop into a word.
Mop you.
Yeah.
Mop you very much.
Mop you very much. At 4:45, I say nothing's worse than a ninja. They're masters of every style of combat.
And they are.
Do you believe that?
I've never met a ninja before, but I wouldn't know if I ever met a ninja.
But do you think a ninja is the best, is like their most fear? Would you be most feared if you had to fight anyone of a ninja?
I would be most feared if I had to fight anyone that was involved in any type of special forces. You know what I mean? Whether it be Navy SEAL, Green Beret, Samurai, ninja. You know who I would want to fight? Like a white belt. Let me just fight like a normal white belt. You know what I'm saying? Let's get into that type of fight. Because then I'm not going to be as nervous. Oh, this person isn't as experienced. But once you get past black belt and you're now a special forces type of thing.
Right.
I don't want to fight you, man.
But what about a street fighter? Like, what's that guy's name? Kembo Slice?
That dude was special forces, dude.
He died.
Yeah, he did pass away. But that dude was special forces, man. That's not like fighting a regular person.
He was special forces?
No, but that's not like fighting a regular person, man. The dude played football. The dude had...
He was scary. I saw some of those videos.
His background made him prepared to not only just become a great street brawler, but make it into the actual UFC and be a very popular...
Was he good in the UFC?
He was decent. He was learning. That's the thing, man. He was learning. And that's most important when it comes to fighting, because mixed martial arts isn't a discipline. It's a bunch of different disciplines all melded together. So if you can become a rogue or not a rogue, well, in video games, you choose the rogue because the rogue does, you know, everything pretty decently. But in real life, if you could become like somebody who could do something like that, someone who could do, you know, I can't wrestle the greatest, but I'm good enough. I can't, you know, punch the greatest, but I'm good enough. I can't kick the greatest, but I'm good enough. If you can become that, you're just as good as a master.
Who do you think you'd last longer against, a ninja or Kembo Slice?
I don't think I'd even get a chance to say a word with a ninja. A ninja would be like, and then with Kimbo Slice, the minute I said, yeah, I'll fight him, bam!
I saw this Kimbo Slice video where he, I didn't watch a lot of him. I don't know if he always rolled up in an SUV and just got out and then beat the shit out of
someone. In the fighters, in the videos, yeah,
I had never seen anything like that. He rolls up in a car, everyone's waiting, he just gets out, walks up to the dude and just goes, bam! And the guy was done, he left, he got back in the car.
Yo, I was dancing my ass off in this episode, man.
Yes, and apparently it's all the same dance because Judy can't tell the difference between all your different dances.
Well, I was doing different I was pirouetting in this shit. I've never done I didn't realize I had that skill.
You really don't like Bonnie.
Well, it's not that I don't like
her. You're jealous of Bonnie.
Yeah, Bonnie's a good Turk's jealous that Bonnie's so good at her job.
And was this whole plot point to get Lila Lee's character Bonnie off the show because she got her own show, right?
No, she hadn't told anybody at this point that she had gotten her own show. She had told me while we were shooting this episode, though, that she was going to go do the pilot for Tremors, and she didn't know if she was going to be able to, or maybe it had already been picked up. Also, people got mad,
I
dude.
I know.
Holy shit.
People got mad that you dissed the movie Tremors.
Listen, Tremors is a good movie, guys. Tremors is a good movie, but compared to Jaws, come on. All Tremors is a remake of Jaws on land. Don't give me this bullshit, yo.
I never saw Tremors.
Don't give me this bullshit, guys. I love y'all to death. I love you to death. But come on now.
But you can't see anything on the interwebs without someone getting upset, Donald. You could be like, Jaws, man, I love
original. What's
you
could
be
below.
Like, I love pasta, and someone would be like, pasta killed my father. You know, you can't, like, you can't win. You said you didn't like Tremors as much as Jaws. People were like flipping tables.
Yeah, people got mad, dude. Yeah. People got mad.
Now,
but I danced my ass off.
When you're dancing and Judy and I are talking and she's like, which dance is that? And I'm like, there's a sale on lotion dance.
No, he said, or it could be his sale on lotion.
Or it might be his there's a sale on lotion dance. There's so many dances.
Yeah.
And then I laugh when Troy is ladling out the Sloppy Joes. And I'm like, it's not like you're ladling out Sloppy Joes. And they cut to Troy. And I go, oh, my uncle was a Joer.
You had a lot of Woody Allen moments in this
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. My uncle was a Joer. Like why? Like Joer is a position in the cafeteria? Oh, you learned sign language.
I did for that episode. It's gone now. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't remember any of this episode. I just remembered little moments. I remembered the Raiders of the Lost Ark thing when that was about to happen.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit, this is the Raiders of the Lost Ark thing. And I remember Troy and the janitor in the egg salad.
Yeah. Cleaning their bodies. Online, it's gross. That's friggin' gross. And I remember we were all there because we wanted to see how fucking gross it was. Now, it says on Scrubs Wiki that there was bets for people to eat that egg salad after they'd both bathed in it. I don't remember that. Do you?
I would not have. I don't remember that either. That is disgusting. No, I know.
Just all up in Troy's ass crack.
Oh, my God. And I remember him doing like the little slather in the crotch area to cover his nuts.
He got
and stuff.
More into it. Yeah. I think Neil, I felt bad for Neil.
Neil was like, I don't want to be in this shit.
Neil was like, you know, we all had to do fantasies we didn't want to do sometimes, and Neil had to suck it up and be in the exile. But Troy was like into it.
Yeah. He was like, yo, if this shit works out, Troy's going to be a fucking character on this episode, in this series. And because of that, Joe Rose who played Troy, went on to be on the show for several years.
Yeah. Well, he was funny.
He was very funny.
It all started with an egg salad bath. When Kelso says, I can't be pulling over for those nylons that come in plastic eggs. My mom used to have those. Do you remember when pantyhose would come in an egg?
Yeah, I do remember
And we'd
that.
Steal them and play with them. We'd like put Matchbox cars in them and shit.
I do remember that.
I don't know when
Easter
it was.
Egg, have fake Easter egg hunts with them.
I don't know when it is that women stopped wearing those. But like back in the day, my mom always rocked those pantyhose with the eggs that came in an egg.
I wonder whose idea was that. We'll put the pantyhose in the egg.
Right. It worked. It was a great marketing tool for me. I was like, get another egg, Mom. I got more Matchbox cars to put in there. No one buy. I don't even really sell them anymore. Joelle, do you know if they even sell them in an egg anymore?
I'm sure they still sell them at like a Macy's or something. But right. Mid-aughts, pantyhose go out of style. And then Spanx came in and women just switched that whole game up.
So women don't really wear... I mean, I'm sure seniors do, but do women not wear the sheer skin-colored nylons anymore?
Beyonce does when she's on stage.
Yeah, if you have issues with your legs or performing, or it's like a very fancy event, you might. But I think specifically millennial and younger generations are like, if they're wearing pantyhose, it's like a fashion statement, you know?
Was the idea that it was almost like a filter, like it's just without being obvious, smoothed out your leg?
Yeah.
Okay. I never thought about it until now. Something about a tushy I wrote down. Oh, the Laura's tushy. I just want to wash it. Is that weird?
That is weird.
No, it's not weird.
Hold on. Hold on.
If you were to see a nice tushy, you wouldn't think, oh, that would be nice to give it a little scrub-a-dub.
To wash?
Yeah, wash it. I don't mean the crack. I mean the cheeks. Just give it a little polish.
I mean, I think...
Am I revealing my own weird fetish? I guess I am.
I think that's great.
I think, dude. I probably improvised that too. It's probably on my mind.
I think that's wonderful.
When I saw Weird Science and they were showering with Kelly LeBrock, I thought that was very erotic. I thought
that was one of the funniest scenes in the movie.
When they're showering.
Do you remember when they're showering with her and she's showering and they're just sitting in the corner?
Yeah.
With their jeans on and everything right. Like that?
But I remember being young and thinking, like, that was super erotic. Okay, we have a caller, our dear listeners. And you know the callers are always fun. We had Banks last time, who was high as a kite.
Banks was on fire.
He was smoking something good. And we will be right back after these words.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved playtime off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval terms. Terms apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Jacqueline Garcia.
Jacqueline Garcia.
Hi, Jacqueline. That is so special. Hi, guys. How are you?
It's very nice to meet you. Welcome.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited to see you guys. This is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. I've actually finished rewatching the entire series again for probably like the sixth or seventh time.
Look at that adorable child that just came in the room.
This is Miss Ruby.
Hi, Miss Ruby.
Miss Ruby.
My husband and I work opposite schedules, so we might, you know, have a couple of.
Oh, that's fine. We both love.
I don't have a good closet situation like.
We both love kids, and so don't
my
worry
kids
about
find
that.
Their way up here.
Oh,
anyway,
look at her!
So
she keeps peeking. She keeps peeking out behind you. Is she wearing? What does her shirt say?
What does your shirt say? Want to show them your shirt?
No. Don't make me, Mama.
So I don't know if you guys were able to see the video, but I had sent it to Joelle of Ruby singing the Scrub song.
Because can we hear it?
Can we hear it?
Can we hear it? Will Ruby do it for us?
Let
Ruby, you want to sing it?
Maybe we can sing it with you, Ruby, if you guys want to kick it off and sing it with her.
Ready? Come here. Come sit with me.
Ruby, don't be shy.
Which scrub song? She's singing the theme song to the show?
No, the theme song to the show.
So I had been watching it so much, well, just by, you know, cooking and doing stuff. And
right.
She got a hold of the theme song, and there's a video of her singing it. You know,
I can't do this song.
Uh-oh.
Nice.
Well, maybe Dan could cut it in. Dan, could you do that, you think? Yeah, there we go. We'll cut it in right here.
Go. I can't do a song. I know Superman.
Wow.
You got a little bit of a New York accent there. Where are you calling out of?
So we just moved to Philly, but I'm from Long Island. We just moved here. So I grew up in Long Island. I'm a Long Island girl.
Yeah, we like your accent. It reminds us both of home.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right. Do you have a question for Donald, myself, Daniel, Joelle, anybody?
I do. I was wondering, because when you guys talk, your banter is so very much Turk and JD. So I was wondering if there is some part of your character that you played that you really had to like act the crap out of, that like is just not part of your personality at all.
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I don't think there was certainly parts that were hard to act, but I definitely think that over the years, the characters really morphed with who Donald and I really are as people. Because Bill would just go to our lives and just write stuff that we told them we did on the weekend and
right, just pick things out and
yeah, I mean, it really was. It really did truly overlap with who we are. And as you can see from listening or hear from listening to the podcast, you know, the banter and friendship we have is very similar to the two characters.
Right. Well, it's very genuine. You could obviously see Thank that you. And hear that.
You know? I liked it when you said talk because it reminded me of Jersey. And when I call home and everyone's like talk, walk, chocolate, dog. We got to walk the dog.
I get made fun of every single day at work.
I'm not making fun of you.
You're in Philly. How are they making fun of you in Philly? They got accents in Philly too.
Yeah, but they don't have the Long Island. They don't have Long Island.
Right.
They all love it though. It's
Long Island is very similar to Jersey.
It is. Yeah.
The accent wise.
Elongate our
chocolate. The or.
Y'all don't even call it Long Island. It's Long Island. It's a Guyland.
Chocolate.
It's a Guyland.
Coffee talk. Remember there was a show on SNL, Coffee Talk.
I'm all verklempt. Talk
amongst yourselves.
Yeah, I'm verklempt. Talk amongst yourselves. It's coffee talk. All right, another question.
I had one more question. I know you guys are kind of Seinfeld fans, right? You guys have watched the show.
Watched an episode of Seinfeld.
Never watched Seinfeld? Wow.
I've only watched a couple of episodes of Seinfeld. There's a few shows. Listen, when I was learning how to do sitcom stuff, I would watch Friends and Seinfeld and stuff like that as research and stuff. But as far as watching it on the regular, not so much. And that's crazy because Seinfeld is based on the building I grew up in.
Really?
I grew up with Kenny Kramer. I knew his daughter. Larry David lived in the building. And I don't know who the Seinfeld character is supposed to be because I don't recall Jerry Seinfeld living in the building I grew up in. But Larry David and Kenny Kramer, you know, I know the real Kenny Kramer. I know his daughter.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, grew up with her.
I didn't know about you. I've seen some episodes, but it's not a show I've seen every single one of. But we could probably still answer the question.
Well, okay. Well, the reason why I brought it up is because I just think of like Scrubs as being in a time capsule in a way, because nowadays you have a computer at your face all the time. All the answers are there. You could look up anything. I was thinking of Seinfeld because there's a specific episode where it's shot entirely in a parking garage. And the whole episode is them trying to find their car and find each other. And it's like, there's no way that would ever work today. And I was thinking that, you know, I don't know. And I'm wondering how you feel about it. I don't know if Scrubs would have worked as well if it were shot today with our social media and, you know, our phones the way that they are and just being able to look things up whenever you want and stuff like that. I just think, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think Scrubs would have worked today, actually. I think it would have look at what's going on right now. We would have been able to tackle really crazy issues like COVID-19 and, you know, racing for the cure for cancer and HIV. And if you look at television, how on television now there's more, you know, ads to make you feel better, but the pills depress the shit out of you or make right. you have suicidal thoughts and stuff like that. I think all of these things, because of where the medical field is right now, would have been touchable with Scrubs because we were a medical show. And also, we were groundbreaking, too. Like, you know, there a lot of shows took their cue from us. And so if we had never come out back then, a lot of the tricks and stuff that we used wouldn't have been developed. And so you wouldn't have seen them. So I definitely and they would have been brand new. So I definitely feel like Scrubs would definitely transcend in today's times.
I think it were, a lot of that stuff would have been folded in. You know, I mean, if you look at this show, there's even in this episode, there's a payphone joke.
Right.
and we had like the first generation BlackBerry. So you're right. All of that social media existence wasn't there, but I feel like it could have been folded in. And it's just also, I think the show is so topical. You know, people are always interested in the drama and the camaraderie of a show like Scrubs.
Right. Yeah. So those things are kind of like, you know, just accessories to the whole story of it.
Yeah, I think there's a funny joke in JD and Turk trying to go viral with something. You know what I mean? That's probably what they would have tried to do.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jacqueline. We're going to listen
Hi,
to your...
Is it Jacqueline or is it Jacqueline?
Well, I really go by Jackie.
Jackie.
Okay, Jackie. Jackie Garcia!
Thank you, Jackie.
You
we appreciate
Love
you. Thank
both.
You. Thank you so much.
Be safe.
Yeah, you too. Be healthy.
Bye-bye.
You know, at the end of the episode, you pull a switcheroo and Rob Mascio gets into the limo.
And Kelso deserves it.
And Rob Mascio...
He deserves a weekend with somebody who's really going to enjoy
Now, what
Mexico.
Do you think happened on that weekend in Mexico with Kelso and the Todd?
I think the Todd embarrassed the crap out of Kelso.
Should we ask Rob?
Yeah, let's ask Rob.
Let's ask Rob. Let's so ask Rob.
Because you know Rob definitely did the research on his character. You know, he was Rob, like, I have to feel good about this. I have to imagine what the scenario
exactly.
is.
Exactly. So Rob, here's our question. You know, we know that you were so into every line you did, every moment you did on Scrubs, you would rehearse, you would do your research. So Donald and I have in our heads that you probably did some recon what the character would be doing in Mexico with Kelso. So could you tell us a little bit about what you and Kelso got up to on your trip to Mexico?
The big dogs not want to kiss and tell, but there already was a no-kissing policy in place down there, so it was a nice little trip. We knocked out some pro bono work, then we squeezed in some bone fishing, some motorboating. Anyway, the Todd will be Dr. K's wingman anytime.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. All right, we did it, right? That's the episode.
I feel like we did it, dude. Do you feel like we did it?
Yeah, I mean, I
Daniel, do you feel like we did it?
Daniel, did we do it?
You crushed it.
Joelle, did we do it?
It was awesome, guys.
We fucking did it, dude.
We have a lot of exciting guests coming up. We're going to have Tom Cavanaugh coming up.
Thunderous
applause for Tom Cavanaugh. Doesn't he play a superhero these days?
He plays a bunch of characters on the show that he's on. He's on The Flash, which is one of the shows that I do frequent. I do love the show. I do love the characters on his show.
Yeah, he's a great actor. He's coming on for 206, My Big Brother. And guess what? We got Heather Locklear coming
Holy
on.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I pulled that
you
one.
You did it?
Yeah, I did it.
Holy cow, dude.
I can make anything happen, Donald. I can make anything happen.
Really?
Yeah, Heather Locklear
anything?
For
anything.
Anything? You name it, I can have it done.
Okay, world peace.
Okay, I'm working
Get
on it.
Get to it right now.
That's what this whole show's about, is world peace. 207, Heather. And then Johnny C. McGinley, the legend, coming on for 209.
Can't wait.
We're going to try and get Dick Van Dyke. I mean, right, Joelle, working on
that? Yes, we are working on that.
We're hoping that he is healthy and able and willing. Shea Serrano, everybody's favorite guest, is coming back on for 215. We're going to try for Ricky Schroeder for 216, right, Joelle? We got to do that. You and I should talk about that.
Okay.
Joelle and I book the guests. Donald doesn't.
Well, I just sing the theme songs. Here we are, face to face, a couple of silver spoons.
Oh, man, I love that show.
Hoping to find we're two of a kind, waiting to grow, waiting to show together. We're going to find our way. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Together, making a time each day. You'll learn all about the things you just can't find.
Find
silver spoons together. You and I.
That was awesome. I can't believe you remember all the lyrics to Silver Spoons.
I got that one. You know what else? You know what else I remember?
What?
Nobody remembers this. Maybe the world is blind. Or just a little unkind.
Is this Webster?
Oh no, seems you can't be sure. Da-da-da-da-da-da of anything anymore. Oh no, this will give it. You may be lonely, but then one day you're smiling again. Every time I turn around, I see the girl who turned my world around. You don't know fucking Punky Brewster?
Oh.
Justin.
I didn't get it. I didn't get it.
Okay, maybe you know this one. I bet we've been together
for a million years.
What is that?
And I bet we'll be together for a million more.
What is it?
It's like I started singing on the night we kissed. Is that it?
And I can't remember what I ever did before.
What do we do, baby?
What is it?
Without us. I don't know.
What is it?
I forgot.
Family Ties.
Oh.
Family Ties. You don't remember Family Ties?
Sorry. Out of context. I'm sorry. I forgot it.
Well, we're moving on up.
All right,
you know that one, right? Okay. You know that one, don't you, everybody?
Thank you so much for listening. We love you. We appreciate you. Joelle, tell them your Twitter. Oh, she's very popular on the Twitter. Joelle, what is it?
You can find me at Joelle Monique. That's JoelleMoniqueE.
At Twitter. And Danil?
You can find me at DJ_DANL.
Yes, both of those folks have very wise Twitters where they are very funny and smart. And please follow Donald on Instagram for the love of God.
Please.
Listen, are your followers going up? Are they going? I think they're going up.
It's going up, but it's going up. It's not going up at the pace that I was hoping for. I was hoping that everyone would jump on board right away.
People are busy. They have things to do in their lives. You know, they're not just
everybody's locked up in the motherfucking house right now. What are you talking about?
But they're doing things. They're jogging. They have things to do.
Well, on your next jog, if you're not following me
during your jog,
and you're like, you know what? Oh shit! Before I put the music on, let's not forget. Click follow Donald_Azon.
Yes,
it's a lot
and
of fun.
Don't forget where we have you can have the theme song be your ringtone. You can just have be your notification.
I post pictures of Zach Braff. Listen, everyone.
Oh, now you'll get the followers.
Everyone who follows Zach Braff, I post as of late.
Yes.
Because of the podcast, I post pictures of Zach Braff. If you're a Zach Braff follower, just know you can get exclusives on my page. I'm just
Listen,
putting it out there.
His last post was me and assless chaps.
That's not true.
What would we do, baby, without us?
I'll tell you right now, Zach Braff,
what?
I wouldn't be able to do much.
Listen, Michael
Five,
Gross.
Six, seven,
wait,
eight.
No, I'm turning it off. Turn it off, Dan. I want to say one of the funniest I ever laughed in my whole life is the episode of Family Ties when Michael J. Fox turns the house into a hotel when the parents are away.
To an Airbnb. He turns it into an Airbnb
motel when the parents are out of the house. And there's a big game in town. Everyone's filtering in because there's no motel rooms left in town. And they steal the other team's mascot. And so there's a kangaroo that's brought into the living room. And they trash the house. And then the parents walk in. And Michael Gross, in one of the best line readings of all time.
Well, it cuts to commercial first.
Cuts to commercial. And then Michael Gross, he can't talk to Michael J. Fox the whole episode. And he finally gets up to talk to him. He goes, you know, as parents, when you go away, you expect that certain things will go wrong. A broken dish. Spilled milk on the rug. There was a kangaroo in my living room.
That's like That's like perfect sitcom writing, dude.
That is the timing. I'll never forget the timing. It made me want to be a comedic actor. The timing was just masterful.
Michael Gross, also in Tremors, people.
There you go. It all comes back to Tremors.
It all comes back to Tremors.
We love you. Stay safe. Wear a mask. Donald, count us in.
Oh, no, I did it already. And it's your turn now.
5, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.